Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is Thursday, September 6th, 2018. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Our last Money in Markets 2 weeks ago, I was in Toulouse, France, and then I flew to back to the Netherlands for another week in Stavoren, and now I'm in Scotland for a week, and I fly back to the States on Sunday. So 2 months in Europe, very unbelievably productive time. I'm going to be in Asheville, North Carolina on September 22nd at the Biltmore lunch with Dr. Mark Skidmore. We're sold out, but we're maintaining a waiting list if you're interested. And if you're already signed up, I look forward to seeing you there. That's going to be an incredible time. I'm hoping John Rappaport will join us as well, but I'm still waiting to get a confirmation from him. I really need to check with them right before the time. I've just finished writing The Rise of the Asian Consumer. The audio is already done. It took quite a while to do it just because there was, I'm amazed, sharing that analysis with a number of people on our team and subscribers. I was amazed at how much it upset people. In a sense, there's no new information. It's things that, to a certain extent, I've been talking about for many years. But I think it's one thing with the change being in the future versus it being here. We did Your Culture Scout, who writes the Food for Your Soul column, did a review of the new movie Crazy Rich Asians, which I've added to the movie section in the second quarter wrap-up, and several subscribers have gone and seen it and reported that it really helped them to understand this trend. Anyway, I hope to have the, it's with the proofer, so I hope to have the whole piece up on the website by the end of the week, and we'll let you know when it's up there. And now it'll go into the PDF production, and the hard copy will be ready, I hope, by the end of September. Again, you really need to understand the big trends. So first quarter was on space, second quarter, the rise of the Asian consumer. These are two of the biggest long-life trends that you're going to be impacted. It's deeply connected to many aspects of your life. So please take the time to read The Space-Based Economy, and please take the time to read The Rise of the Asian Consumer. Listen to the audio. It's really, it's an analysis that if you integrate it and you start to think about what it means to you and all the different aspects of your life, the idea of getting this kind of analysis to you is to make sure that you know how to navigate the changes. And so I really strongly recommend it to you. The message, of course, in the analysis is inflation is coming. Now, it's certainly here, but it's only, I think, going to get worse. John Williams, I've asked John Williams of Shadow Stats to join us in the third week of September to discuss the real deal on inflation, because I think it's that important. I want to stress it for you. The Wave Genome, which we published several weeks ago of this second episode in the Future Science series, again, I strongly recommend if you haven't watched it. It dovetails very much with tonight's interview with Dr. Farrell and last week's with Dr. Horton, and it's all very much about seeing the power of our minds and our intention. I'm going to be at a workshop in Amsterdam that Ulrich Groninger is teaching on the Keys of Enoch on October 12th and 13th. The link to information on that event is up in the events section if you're interested. And then I'm going to travel with Ulrich down to Italy for the conference, the Scientists for Peace conference, October 19th to 21st. Our theme tonight is scripture. It's from Matthew 18:20. Quote, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And the idea is that the divine can show up if we're in accord. Now, what does accord mean? It means alignment. We're in alignment. If you look at the logo for Solari, it's a solar armillary. An armillary is a tool of alignment, of celestial alignment. If you're interested, go to Wikipedia and look up what an armillary is and what it what it's about, but for the reason I wanted to use an armillary for a logo is because I think transparency can contribute so much to building alignment, and that's what I'm interested in doing. If you look around the world, what you see is in the G7 nations is a world out of alignment. And so we have two leaders who are trying to implement major policy changes. So you have the Trump administration, which is trying to do the pivot back to North America, and at the same time, it's coping with the breakdown of the Bretton Woods system. It didn't break it down. That breakdown was inevitable. It started a long time ago, but now it's upon us. So it's dealing with it, and at the same time, it's trying to manage and preserve the dollar as global reserve currency for as long as possible. So it's dealing with the breakdown. At the same time, it's trying to keep it going as long as possible. Then you have May in the UK trying to affect Brexit and is having quite a challenging time and has had quite a challenging time doing that. Both of them look like spiders caught in webs. Trump is making it particularly difficult for himself. He's fairly thin-skinned, and his enemies have figured that out, and they're doing everything they can to get under his skin. Not the latest this week is Bob Woodward's new book, and then an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times written claiming by somebody who claims to be a member of the Trump administration. So why is America and the G7 not in alignment, both the leadership with the people and the various members of G7 with each other? The reality is if you're going to be in alignment, you need to share a common map. And the leadership doesn't share a common map with the people. You've got fake news, you've got fake science, you've got disinformation. You've got mind control that creates a pea soup of multiple personality disorder maps. So the reality is it's very hard to create common maps that you can use for the basis of having intelligent conversations, let alone getting into alignment. In addition to having common maps, you need to share a common vision. And right now with criminality, corruption, perversion, you have very multiple personality visions. You know, you have too many people whose attitude is what's in it for me. So where you don't have common maps and you don't have common missions or visions, it's very hard to get people in alignment. And it makes, if you're in the position of the Trump administration or if you're in the position of May trying to affect Brexit, the absence of common maps and the absence of common visions, and at this point, shared moralities, shared cultures, produces a picture of something that looks like political bumper cars. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the puppet masters who are really controlling behind the scenes, they prefer this. They're in the booth and they're controlling the cars, and it's working for them. But the reality, it means the societies that they're managing can't go at a high speed other than what they can do in secret at high speeds. And they can do a lot of things in secret at high speeds. The secrecy works for them. It means they maintain their control. They maintain their privileges. And they don't have to deal with the legal liabilities that could come into the system if transparency happened. The Bretton Woods system really is falling apart. Note that Macron was quoted in The Guardian this week, head of France, as saying, quote, "Europe can no longer rely on the United States for its security," Macron said in a foreign policy speech at what he called a crisis moment for European politics and global multilateralism. Quote, "It is up to us to guarantee European security," quote. Macron vowed to put forward new proposals in the coming months for the EU to boost defense cooperation as well as talks with Russia on their security relationship, an issue of concern for countries on Europe's eastern edge. So this is what the people in the booth want, and I'm sure the defense and armament sales are going to be glorious. Clearly, Asia is in a higher alignment, both the leader between the leadership and the populations, and they're going at much faster speeds. It's quite extraordinary. I just watched a presentation by a venture capitalist from China on the speed at which they're adapting AI. I've ordered his book, and I'm going to be talking more about that as soon as I have a chance to read it. What this means to you and me is that, of course, we've got to navigate the bumper cars. I had a subscriber this week who reminded me about the quote from Nehemiah. One of my favorite gospel songs is Babby Mason singing about, it's called Stay Up on the Wall, and it refers to the line from Nehemiah where they had to, the wall that protected the town had been broken, so they had to build the wall at the same time they had to keep a weapon in their other hand to proceed to fight because the wall wasn't there to protect them. So Nehemiah 17 says, they which buildeth on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that ladeth, everyone with one of his hands wrought the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. And so you had to have you had to build with one hand and fight with the other, and that's what Babby Mason's song is all about. And when you're navigating the bumper cars of our situation, it's very, very appropriate advice. Because I'm recording in Scotland, I'm going to operate with a Wednesday close. These are Wednesday close figures. The U.S. dollar index still strong, up 3.87%. It's the trade deficit is still at a new high. The U.S. GNP, only 12%, reflects exports. And, of course, a high dollar is not going to help that. We're one of the lowest percentages in terms of GNP. And as exports, Germany's almost 50%. That's one of the reasons we're so insular. But, of course, a strong dollar just is going to continue to make that hard. The administration is hard at work renegotiating trade deals. The trade representative just submitted 90-day notification to Congress for the U.S.-Mexico trade deal. They've renegotiated NAFTA. Canada still is not in agreement, so whether we proceed with or without Canada remains to be seen. Needless to say, the trade war is hitting farmers harder, and the administration is providing provision to cover them and protect them. Clearly, food is one of our very most important exports. The trade representative has also announced successful negotiations with Korea, and those are moving forward, and with the Asian ASEAN nations as well. That's ultimately the goal, is to replace our role in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And, of course, negotiations with China, as far as I'm concerned, are still at early stages, more to come. Fixed income, the long Treasury ETF, now down 3.71% for the year. The intermediate down 1.8%. The bond aggregate down 1.22%, and junk up 1.1%. As I said, John Williams is going to join us to talk about the real deal on inflation in 2 weeks. I would really encourage you to go to a website called the Chapwood Index and check out the presentation as to the Chapwood Index estimate of real inflation in the United States, if you live in the United States. I think the reality is we're dealing with much higher inflation than the official statistics. And one indicator that is the case, the president tweeted out that he was considering indexing capital gains. I think it's going to be politically difficult to protect investors when you're not protecting citizens. Equities, the S&P now up 9.52%. Amazon has just joined Apple, the second stock to pass into the $1 trillion club. What's interesting is if Amazon's market cap is $1 trillion, then the market cap of the following companies combined, listen to this: Best Buy, Macy's, Target, Costco, Nike, Sears, Home Depot, Starbucks, McDonald's, Barnes & Noble, JCPenney, Dollar Tree, Office Depot, Nordstrom, Kroger's, and Kohl's all add up to $960 billion. So Amazon is now bigger than all of them combined. Goldman just gave a warning on bear indicators in the market. I wouldn't mention it. I'm not a big Goldman Sachs fan. I did work there for a summer as a matter of disclosure. I was a summer intern. But I will say this, their market calls in the equity market have been remarkably good. And so I take that warning with a certain note of seriousness. If you have hedges on your equity, now is not the time to take them off. It may be a time to consider putting them on. Hedges have dragged the equity performance of portfolios a lot over the last year, but now is not the time to let go of them or take them off, in my opinion. Charles Hugh Smith had a great article, Why is Productivity Dead in the Water? Productivity is something I've talked a lot about. We did the second quarter wrap-up 2016. Basically, it's my opus or rant on productivity. I would encourage you to read it. I'll put a link to it in This Money in Markets. I also have a piece on shadow work, which is a big reason for eating up people's productivity. And I think this question of productivity is very important, because when productivity stalls, it has very dramatic implications to the general wealth of the society. It is imperative that productivity continue to grow. Okay, let's look at the rest of the equity markets. Home builders now down 8.9% for the year. VGK, the European ETF, down 3.12%. Germany down 7.29%. The developed markets minus North America down 3.3%. China now down 7.61%. And that's the large caps. The small caps down 8.55%. As I said at the beginning of the year, it's so elegant if you look at it. The Chinese market starts to shoot ahead of the S&P. Suddenly Trump is tweeting trade tariffs and the trade war is on. And he keeps doing it until the S&P is up 9% and the Chinese stock market down approximately 8%. What a coincidence. And then emerging markets down 9.57%. Commodities now flat for the year. If China's down, you know, the commodity demand is going to be down. What's amazing, though, if you look back over the last decade, the extent to which the economy in China is growing gangbusters, but the stock market is significantly and steadily underperforming the general GNP. Gold down 8.67% for the year, silver down 16.76%, oil up 16.36%. So let's take a look at some of the most recent developments. The Kavanaugh hearings for the new Supreme Court nominee have been underway. We've had 3 days of hearings. Kavanaugh will be confirmed. He's very much in the Jerome Powell line at the Jerome Powell being the new Fed chairman. He's the guy the old line WASPs want. One subscriber said to me, why is Condoleezza Rice at the hearing? And I said, she represents George Shultz and Baker and Kissinger and some of the, and that group. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see her at the hearings, wanting to make sure things went right. It's hard to watch the senators speaking about constitution and democracy when thermal gentrification just claimed 1 million acres of the of land in California, and everyone's pretending it's not happening. At the same time that you just had the Federal Financial Accounting Board come out and say it's okay to cook the books. So if you're in blatant disregard of the Constitution when it comes to financial management, and clearly the military is standing down over 1 million acres burned in California, there's a disassociation in the rhetoric that is really beyond belief. It's hard to explain without mind control. There are reports, speaking of the fires, that California insurers are canceling home insurance or significantly raising premiums in the rural areas, including right before the fires, which is very disturbing. It's very important if you live in a rural area in the United States to have a long-term relationship with reliable insurers. I use Farm Bureau of Tennessee. They have a rural focus and have always been very honorable and reputable, and in all my dealings with them as, you know, in their role as insurer. So just make sure you have that part of your home insurance taken care of. The Swamp Dharma, who will be the next White House counsel? Again, I believe the Grove folks want their own guy in. It's back to the old WASPs again. They seem to be showing up, you know, or at least their ghost is showing up in many places. It's the way it looks to me. I think they'll swap a new person in after the election. It will tell us a lot about how things will go in 2019. There's no doubt that that position and the Treasury position are exceptionally important to how the deep state interacts with the machinery of the executive branch. As I mentioned earlier, there was an editorial in the New York Times, anonymous by an establishment person in the White House, that basically was designed to undermine the image of the presidency, combined with Bob Woodward's new book. It's a 1-2 punch. It's designed to make the president look crazy. The enemies of Donald Trump have figured out that the way to play him is he's thin-skinned. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to make him look like a temperamental bully who can't handle himself and is somebody who could be impeached because he's not mentally sound. I doubt it will work, with one exception, and that is if the people at Grove after the election want to replace him. And then, you know, something will work if that's what they want. But again, I don't see why they would do it. If they put the right counsel in place and Kelly continues to stay and they have the right people in place, they ought to be fine. But we'll see what happens. It's really a question of what their long-term agenda is, and they may be better off with Pence in there. Emerging markets and the U.S. dollar bear trap. Some countries are really hurting. Let me give you a sense of the statistics. If you're in Europe or the United States, Australia, New Zealand, you don't feel the pain. So this is the latest statistics from the Economist roundup. If you look at the back of the Economist, they have a roundup of economic data. Okay, latest consumer price indexes. So this is basically for 2018, but it's the latest figures. Turkey consumer prices up 15.8%. Argentina 30.9%, Egypt up 13.5%. Venezuela was not reported, but is said to be up significantly more. The official statistic on the U.S. is 2.9%. As I said, go look at the Chapwood Index website because I don't believe that number. Unemployment rate in Brazil is 12.4%. In South Africa, 27%. In Turkey, it's 9.7%, Argentina, 9.1%. So imagine if you're living in Argentina, the unemployment rate is 9.1%, and consumer prices are going up 30.9%. That's quite an economic squeeze. Meantime, global interest rates are ranging from negative in Switzerland to 13% in some of these emerging markets. So you're talking about an enormous spread in the cost of capital and the learning metabolism, particularly of high tech in these countries. So if you look at, you know, the difference between cost of capital in Argentina and the United States and the tech learning metabolism, it's extraordinary. So we're looking at emerging market countries around the world who, where this is hitting, are really in pain. Now, I put a link up to Russell Napier's piece on this, and one of the things he claims is you're seeing capital pull out of emerging markets where they don't trust the rule of law. I don't agree entirely with his analysis, because a lot of times where they say that there's no rule of law, there are a lot of U.S. intelligence dirty tricks or other sort of G7 dirty tricks. So I think the analysis is more complicated. But there's no doubt that where the rule of law is not trusted, you're going to see capital flight. South Africa is a perfect example. And I think it's one of the great dangers of the concern about the political leadership going after some of the farmers there. Don't listen to commentators who say that this contagion is going to happen soon in the United States. Inflation is happening, and it's going to continue and I think get worse. But the whole idea of Trump pulling back manufacturing, pulling back capital, pulling back talent to the U.S. is, in fact, to prevent this from happening in the U.S. It's a little bit like a body in trauma brings the blood back from the limbs to the heart, the brains, and the lungs. The empire is calling the capital back from the frontier, from the extremities, and from the fringes of empire, and pulling it back to central. And the U.S. is really marketing itself as the preferred safe haven. All oligarchs welcome. So I think the message of what's happening in California with the fires is, they're willing to do some real damage to the current citizens to make the world safe for the corporations and oligarchs. I know I mentioned on the last Money and Market, the Federal Accounting Standards Board new press release about the changes in policies allowing classified projects to not report. This makes the new Department of Defense audit simply meaningless. Now, I don't know how they're going to handle HUD because national security doesn't apply. The press release is just priceless because they're just basically saying they're going to ignore the Constitution. I mean, it's clearly not constitutional. I don't think you need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. I'll put the link up and the subscriber links in the Money and Market commentary, just so those of you who want to take a look can go read it. So this is the first week of September. And what that means for Americans is that we are coming into a campaign. All eyes are on the November election. We have, over the next couple months, finalizing the federal appropriations. And given the economic and political tensions, the 9 weeks between now and the elections in the United States are going to be very tense. We have House races, Senate races, governor races, and of course, whether or not the Republicans keep control in the House and Senate is up in play. I think the chances are good that they'll keep one or both. But they could lose one or both. And if you look at how fluid it is and how competitive the competition is, it's significant. Whatever we end up with, a lot of the incumbents are going to get replaced with younger people who are more nuts and bolts focused. But they're going to even be more centrally controlled. I think, you're going to have control files, you're going to have mind control, you're going to have all the systems you have now, and they're going to be more naive, have less experience, and so be easier in some respects to control. So I don't think you can look to the change in political leadership to make a big, big difference. So long as the money is not being run according to the law and everything's secret, there's going to be no real change. Although I think the group coming in at least will be welcome in style, but I don't think there's going to be any change in substance. That's why I think it's so important to keep pounding the pavement on money and running the money according to the law. During this period over the next 2 to 3 months, every effort is going to be made to work Trump's thin skin. I don't know. They figured out how to get to him, and he's either going to have to learn how to manage it or learn how to get thicker skin. We'll see what happens. A couple of big wild cards. We do have thousands, tens of thousands of indictments pending. You see a lot of covert gossip, including the Q, the Q tweets basically showing, or Q leaks showing, or enticing that a lot is going to come down in September, October, November, this fall. My guess is these indictments are going to use to get people to resign as opposed to prosecute it. It's going to be much more efficient to get everybody to quit and resign and get out of the way or make quiet deals than it is to make a public mess. You know, tens of thousands of prosecutions is very time-consuming and expensive and very tough on the system. To give you an example, Q took credit for the announcement by Rahm Emanuel, a major domo in the Clinton family and had worked in the Clinton administration, now the mayor of Chicago, announced he wasn't running again. In my experience, Emanuel is a pretty, you know, I would say he's pretty much on the dark side. And what's been going on in Chicago is very much in the dark side. So Q took a lot of credit or took credit for it in the Q leaks, but wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. I think we may see a lot of resignations, and I'm very interested to see what happens. In the meantime, we have clearly the Masons. It's coming out of the Attorney General's. It's a legal game. Just hitting the church one after another with attacks about sex abuse and the pedophilia. Now, this is really projective identification because in my knowledge and experience, the Masons were up to their eyeballs with the Vatican and all of that stuff, and yet they seem to have completely shifted 100% of the blame onto the Vatican. It's quite amazing how they've done it. And why the Vatican hasn't pushed back more, I don't know. We just saw New York subpoena the Catholic diocese on a sex abuse probe. Speaking of which, we also have an announcement that federal prosecutors are considering more charges against Harvey Weinstein, including his relationship with the Israeli investigative firm Black Cube. This is very interesting. If prosecutors are going to squeeze Harvey Weinstein for admissible information and evidence on sort of perverted behavior by other people, I can't imagine how many people Weinstein could turn in, including the Clintons. So certainly the Clinton faction has a lot to fear here if they really decide to squeeze Weinstein, depending, of course, on what they, you know, who and what they're looking for. I wanted to mention a section of an article from the Wall Street Journal today. Incentives offered for Chinese manufacturers to buy more robots have made China the world's fastest growing automation market. In 2016, China installed a record 87,000 robots, more than the US and Germany combined, according to the International Federation of Robotics. Beijing wants to reach a robot density of 150 per 10,000 employees by 2020, more than double 2015 levels, though still behind the U.S. where the ratio is 189. So remember what I said about China moving faster? They're definitely moving faster. I also wanted to mention, while I've been in Europe, I've had more than a few heated conversations about climate change. And here's what I keep saying to all my friends who are concerned about climate change. First of all, whatever is happening on climate change, it is a very serious symptom that the governance system is invisible and it's not working. First of all, we know that we've had breakthrough energy for at least 100 years, and it's been suppressed. The reason we use fossil fuels is because of politics. It's a political choice, and we don't quite understand why it's the political choice, and there's no real serious discussion of this political choice. So, but we do know it's enforced with a great deal of force. There are plenty of breakthrough inventors who've been destroyed or killed or had their patents held up in the patent system. So the use of fossil fuels is dictated not by necessity, but by politics, by an invisible governance system. And I would say that our environmental problems are a symptom of that governance system and In other words, we have a governance problem. We don't have an environmental problem. We have a governance problem, and our environmental problems are a symptom of that. Now, the other thing is the people who govern things may be doing what they're doing, among other things, because they're worried about risks related to sun and solar system, what I would refer to as space weather. That means if you're going to have an intelligent presentation on climate change, it's got to include space weather, including the solar minimum. We're in a period of minimum sunspots. And there's a lot of science and history on what that means, both to our weather and economies and other things. A framework for climate change has to include the ionized sky and the space fence. Don't talk to me about climate change if you don't understand the dynamics of HARP and global spring and what that means to your presentation, including weather warfare and the use of the manipulation of the weather as a tool of war and economic exploitation. You've also got to include nuclear testing. We've done a lot of nuclear testing, including in the upper atmosphere, that could have an impact on both things the people who run things are worried about or what is happening with climate, if anything. You need to include the magnetic core, what's happening with the magnetic core and why. We're dropping in oxygen. So why do we keep losing oxygen as a percent of the air we breathe and continue to use fossil fuels? And there are many other things related to the environment and things happening environmentally that need to be included. But every time I try and talk with folks about, give me an integrated picture that makes logical sense to me, I run into all of these problems, and including emotional blackmail, threats, and bullying. So bullying is not a substitute for intellectual integrity. Now, the one really serious thing I heard about climate change in the last 2 years was Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, when we interviewed him during the election in 2016. He explained he was working on a commission that put together by the Pentagon on how to re-engineer the ports. The Navy was grappling with rising sea levels, and they considered this very serious, how they were going to cope with reconfiguring global ports for their operations. And that makes it very serious. But nevertheless, I would love to have an integrated conversation about climate change. But that means we have to get the climate change folks to start looking at things like the UFO phenomenon. That's hard to do, but I'm going to keep working on it. We have two heroes this week. One is Ronnie Kilda, who's a Finnish physician and health officer. She passed several years ago. And because we've been doing last week the Salera Report on Targeted Individuals, this week on Mind Control with Joseph, I just had to mention her. She's one of the best sources in the world on these topics and many other topics. And if you haven't discovered her, you really need to. The other, Robert Kennedy Jr. and Del Bigtree, big court win as a result of the a lawsuit they brought about the safety requirements at the federal government that aren't being complied with. If you haven't, we posted a link to Del Bigtree's description of it. It's really quite wonderful, but sort of a victory for the anti-vax group. Let's Go to the Movies this week is a wonderful documentary, The Horse Boy. It's about a young autistic boy whose parents take him to a Mongolian healer who significantly improves his health by manipulating his electromagnetic field. And I think it has very intriguing insights into how our minds work, a topic we've been exploring, again, as I said at the beginning of this Money in Markets, please, if you haven't watched Ulrich Ronecker's new episode for the Future Science series, Wave Genome, it really has a great deal of intriguing information about our minds and our DNA and how they work. I think the horse boy will certainly, it's a very inspiring story, but it will certainly inspire you to think a little bit more about the deepest nature of our intelligence. Our interview tonight is with Dr. Joseph Farrell on his new book, Microcosm and Medium, The Cosmological Implications and Agenda of Mind Control. I really believe America's number one problem is mind control, and I think mind control has been applied to the population in many, many different ways, and digital technology is making the delivery of that technology much more economic, much more invasive, and the results are clear. If you look at what's happening in America, America is literally, we're losing our minds. And I think if we're going to deal with the problems before us, if there's anything, we need clear, coherent minds. So I sort of see this as a very important problem that needs to be dealt with. And I think understanding it can help you a lot. I think Dr. Farrell has written really the best book on mind control I've ever read. And I think I've read almost everything on the topic. It really goes into some of the deeper issues. He goes wider and deeper than many books and integrates it with some of the things we've been talking about. But most importantly, why it's so important to own the culture, and I'll leave it to you to listen to the interview. One of the things he really got on his high horse was about the debasement of art. I agree with everything he's saying, but he did criticize some artists and musicians, which some of us, some subscribers like, you know, we can't always listen to Bach. So there's a little bit of controversy there, but I agree with him that there's really been an effort to destroy the artistic and musical minds and produce music and art, which is truly incoherent. Now it's a wide spectrum, but I agree with this basic premise, but I see the point of the subscribers have written back and say, wait a minute, I like jazz. As I said, the interview really dovetails with Dr. Horton's interview and with Ulrich's presentation on the wave genome. So I would encourage you to listen. I would also encourage you to get the book. I think one way to break the trance of mind control is first and foremost to understand it. And the more you understand it, the easier it is to sort of deal with it. Ask Catherine, a series of questions from the first subscriber. What value are the owners of the Earth being offered to change their current non-human agenda? What do they really want? What is their risk profile? And then a whole series of questions about them. All great questions. The answer is, I don't know. To answer these questions, you've got to have very significant intelligence that, as far as I know, none of us have. And I keep asking lots of questions about who are they and how does this work? The answer is, I don't have the answers, so I can't answer the questions. At the same time, my way of dealing with this is to deal with it spiritually. And there are many different things I've discussed about what that means. But the one I would refer you to is the story of Gideon, if you haven't read the story of Gideon in the Bible. It really expresses sort of the spiritual message that I use to cope with a world of this kind of uncertainty and craziness. I absolutely believe that if things are going to work with humans in a leadership position taking responsibility for the planet, we have to come up with a system driven by culture whereby 7 billion growing to 10 billion people manage the planet together responsibly. It's one of the reasons if you look at the Solari coin on the back of it, it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we certainly try and behave that way as a people, but we don't behave that way with our money. So we're busy, you know, trying to be polite to people or do unto others as we would have them do unto you. But meantime, we're getting a check and making money doing things that basically kill and destroy people. So I think you have to integrate the golden rule into how you deal with your money. But the reality is, unless 10 billion people are willing to manage cooperatively, responsibly, which to me is perfectly possible, the alternative is to have some kind of central controlled authority who is making and enforcing the law. And frankly, I think we'll do better if we do it cooperatively, bottom up. But we have to be responsible to bring forward and create that alternative. Anyway, check out the story of Gideon. It's in Judges chapters 6 through 9. And I'd be happy to do a... Sometime I'm just going to have to do a Solari report on the story of Gideon in and of itself. Hi, please forward this email to the right place. Recently I mentioned to Catherine in a post about the crisis for pain patients in the U.S., A, not being able to get their prescriptions for pain medications refilled or even written. Catherine said in her podcast she wanted personal stories and information. I'd like to post this request on a couple of forums, and I need a public email. Just send them to customerservice@solari.com. So that's customerservice@solari.com. I'd love to get as many stories as possible. I'm very interested in this topic. So I really appreciate your doing it. Hi, Catherine. Could you please give some advice on how to go about doing due diligence on the Texas state-run precious metals depository? Here's what I did. I worked with their website. I simply reviewed the state controller's office, who is the person in charge. This is, as you probably know, the first state-sponsored depository in the United States. I went through the description of terms and conditions on the arrangements and looked at the fees and then the insurance provisions. And I would also note that a new facility was coming. I didn't do physical due diligence, which if I was nearby or in the state of Texas or thinking of depositing personally, I would go do some physical due diligence. Anyway, I certainly think it is, other than the fact that it's inexperienced, it certainly looks like a sound option to me. But take a look at their website. I think you can do, other than the physical due diligence, you can do a lot basically from the website. But I would also say if you're concerned about the state controller, you can, Texas has lots of disclosure about their government organization and finances on the Texas state website as well. Also, are you still planning on an interview with TrueStream Media on their documentary? Yes, as soon as they're available, I'd love to do that. It's just a matter of when they're available. I recall reading about how it only needs about 5% to bring about real change, but I don't recall where I read it. I think you heard it from me. If you read Lynn McTaggart's The Field, or you read The Tipping Point, or The Story of Gideon, all of those can really contribute to sort of my feeling about the 5%. My personal experience in business and government is that there's a 10-80-10 rule. 10% of the people in any system are what I call net energy plus. 80% are net energy neutral. They'll follow around whoever's in charge. And then 10% are net energy minus. If you put the net energy minus people in charge, then 80% will follow them around and you get the whole society behaving in unproductive ways. And that's how productivity starts to go down or flatline the way it is now. If you put the 10% net energy plus people in charge and the 80% start following them, it's miraculous. A system that looks hopeless literally overnight can go into working just fine. It's quite remarkable how it can happen. Part of the reason it works is when you have a small group of people who so-called flip the system, they invite in the divine. There's a whole momentum, what I call the divine intelligence that goes to work. If you listen to the Wave Genome and the interviews with Horton and Farrell and Reed Farrell's book. All of these things get into the idea of shared intelligence and how powerful our intention and intelligence can be, which is why I think the shift in consciousness is so important. Now, why do I use the number 5%? Because I don't think it takes the full 10% to sort of take control and be net energy plus to get the 80% following. Instinctively, what I find is the human herd understands that, if we're going to eat pies, we need to bake pies. And if everybody's stealing everybody else's pie, ultimately you won't have any pies. So I think it is human nature of the majority of the population to understand that psychopathy won't work system-wide. And to build real wealth, you need real productivity. And so they tend to fall in. That's why the 80% fall in. And where you can get 5% acting, leading up, towards real wealth and real productivity, then you start to see the remainder of the 10% and then the 80% fall in behind them. So 5% is what you need to get that critical mass and critical momentum. I don't underestimate how hard that is to do because the environment is so dangerous and people are so scared. But the reality is, I'd rather get killed by the tapeworm than starve to death because we've decided as a society to be unproductive. So I'd rather bake pies no matter how dangerous it might seem. Hi, Catherine. I'm a relatively new subscriber. I've been listening to as many archive reports and interviews that I can find of yours in the past 2 weeks. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And then they share their life experiences, and it's a fascinating story and description. I really appreciate your sharing it with us, and you offer a suggestion on how to deal with EMF. It's called some of the research. There has been research showing that buckyballs are great at absorbing toxins. Some of the research that I've read said that the shungite, a mineral found only in Russia, is nature's perfect buckyball. If you place 3 small shungite rites near EMF emitting devices, the shungite is supposed to change the spin of the electrons back to the natural or God-made norm. Anyway, I'm very interested in that. I'll check it out. Thank you for sending that. And it's clear from your history that you never give up either. So very inspiring story. Catherine, good morning. I listened to your buddy Greg Hunter interview with Jim Sinclair and Bill Holter yesterday. They're pretty certain we're headed into a reset. Greg said it was the most important interview to date since he started his show. Could you please shed any light on this for me? I have great affection for Jim Sinclair. I don't agree with his analysis just because I spend so much time looking at what I call the black budget side. I think I don't think he sees the full game of what's going on. You really have to look at the covert cash flows and the missing $21 trillion to kind of make sense of what's happening. Anyway, are we going into a reset, the reset is happening daily. That's what the trade deals are. That's what the inflation is. That's what the indictments are. That's what the changes in the federal budget. That's what the tax reform bill was. I mean, we are watching a major reorganization and movement of capital all over the planet. It's an unprecedented in the size of these enormous flows. So the reset is happening. It's millions of different changes happening daily, the rise in interest rates. I could go on. Now, there's no doubt that the intensity of this is going to accelerate in the fall. So how it plays out, I don't know. The big reset is going to be a political one if we do get significant resignations and or indictments. First question. This is 2 questions about the Lane hurricane hitting Hawaii and a picture of the extraordinary right turn. I have no idea what Hawaii negotiated for and what they offered, but obviously they paid dearly. Anyway, somebody got what they wanted out of that one. Hi, Catherine. Hope you're traveling well and fun. Your thoughts on the Manafort and Cohen verdicts? Totally to be expected. I think the issue was not just squeezing them to get leverage on Trump, but Manafort and Cohen are swamp critters par excellence. And my guess is the people who helped get Trump elected wanted to keep the worst of the swamp critters on his tail out of the administration. What's up with AG Sessions, a control file keeping him quiet, or a deep state, deep stater? I think Sessions, from early on when he signed on for the campaign, has been coordinating with the deep state. He's doing his job quietly. You have to see where things come out between now and 2019 and what happens with the indictments slash resignations to see what the real deal is on Sessions. If you look at the different things going on at the Department of Justice, he's clearly doing a significant amount of work. We just have to see how it plays out one way or the other. That's it. In closing, I'm flying from Scotland to Memphis this Sunday. So after 2 months in Europe, I will talk to you from the United States next week. Next 2 weeks, we have some very fine shows. Next week is the food series, Navigating Organics, with Ronnie Cummins, the head of the Organic Consumer Association. Harry Blaser does that interview. It's absolutely fascinating. Cummins is a really grounded guy, but he reminds us that there are 50 to 100 million organic farmers worldwide. And the reality is, if you look at the importance to food to every political movement going on in this country, it's the solution to everything from immigration to poverty and everything else. He's absolutely right. And it's very inspiring to be reminded that the organic food community is much bigger than the military-industrial state, because it is. Then the real deal on inflation with John Williams. I'm so concerned about not only the inflation is happening, but what could happen with the rise of Asia. I really want to focus you on what's happening with inflation. So a good talk with John. It's a very great time to get him back. And then following that, Harry and I are going to be doing a very serious discussion of privatization. The oligarchy surges ahead. So until next week, with or Navigating Organic with Ronnie Cummins, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.